Thank you. Hello, everybody who I can now no longer see because the lights are out, but I believe you're all still there. Welcome to Hacking Sex. I had someone ask me, oh, are you the woman who gave the sex talk at Hope 2 years ago? And my answer is, it's complicated. I'm the same person. Whoa, but since the last time I was here, I have a new name and a new gender. So, hi, I'm Kit. My gender is non-binary, so I am not a man, I am not a woman. The whole man-woman thing just is not a good descriptor of my gender. I'm non-binary. I'm also queer, more specifically pansexual, so that means that basically I'm potentially attracted to humans. Other than that, all bets are off. Yeah. My pronouns are they, them, and there, and I ask that people use gender-neutral language when referring to me. So if you leave this talk and you really hate it, you can totally go to your friend and say, yeah, I went to Kit's talk, they sucked. If that's how you really feel, feel free to do that. But yeah, thank you for your attention and respect on that. A little bit about my background. I have a PhD in robotics from Carnegie Mellon University, from the Robotics Institute there. This is not exactly what I thought I would be doing with my PhD when I got it. But, oh, thank you. But it has been a lovely ride, and I'm excited to bring you all along today. So, what are we up to? Oh, quick privilege check. I like to do this at the beginning of my talks. I recognize that I have a lot of privilege in being able to stand up here and speak to you all. I'm white, I'm well-educated, I'm fairly well-off. I acknowledge that. I'm thankful for this opportunity, and I have to say that unfortunately, doing a lot of the kind of sex toy building that I do can get kind of expensive. We'll be talking about some 3D printing. We'll be talking about silicone. Those aren't cheap. My hope is that folks can find ways to get together, share resources, split costs, and make things happen. So let's go. Hacking sex. Okay, so when you think of sex, what do you think, we'll say, what do most people most likely think about? Penis and vagina intercourse. Of course, PIV sex. The traditional, gold standard of sex? And here's the thing, right? So if we're going to talk about hacking sex, the first thing we actually have to talk about is this definition. Because I think it could really, really use some tweaking. So for one thing, hey, what about all us queer people? Right? There's quite likely we will be in combinations where PIV sex, those genitals in that combination just may not be there. And what, we don't get to have sex? No, no, my friend, that is not the case. So we want a definition of sex that's going to be a little more inclusive for queer folks. How about people with disabilities, right? That's another one. So I actually have a couple of chronic illnesses. I have generalized anxiety disorder, and I have fibromyalgia syndrome. And a lot of my symptoms involve kind of chronic pain, chronic fatigue. And there's a lot of days where PIV is just not in the cards for me. I'm too tired, I'm sore, I'm exhausted, I'm in pain. That doesn't mean I don't want to have a really cool experience with my partner, but so does that mean I don't really get to have sex? What? And certainly there's other folks with disabilities where, for whatever reason, again, PIV is not in the cards at all. Doesn't look so great there. STI transmission? There's certainly ways that people can get infections that are not just PIV. And we want to make sure that everybody is aware of the risks of things like oral sex, anal sex. We want to make sure that everybody has the right tools and information to make decisions about what they want to do. Whereas if PIV is the one true sex, and people are maybe having unprotected oral anal sex, and they don't think of it as sex, there's potential risks there. And so we want to have a definition of sex that's kind of broad enough to make sure that when we're providing education, we're doing it in a thorough way that's really inclusive, and let people know all their options. And finally, okay, I think that PIV sex, emphasizing it too much, we tend to overlook how awesome sex with yourself can be. I think this is really important. I think masturbation is really important. I think everybody who wants to enjoy their own body should be able to do that without shame, should have good education. I feel that if you know, you know, once you kind of learn more about sort of your body and what turns you on and turns you off and what you like and what you dislike, you can, you know, use that knowledge for fun times with yourself or potentially fun times with other people. And so if PIV is the only sex, I feel like there's kind of a lot we're missing out on, a lot of people being excluded. So as an alternative, I'd like to suggest the definition of sex from Dr. Marty Klein, who calls sex the exchange of erotic energy. And I'm just going to make a tiny footnote. I'm going to say it's the consensual exchange of erotic energy, because I think consent is very important. I like that to be clear. So, okay, so now we're not focused on one specific combination of genitals doing one specific thing, right? We've got this whole world out there. We've got oral, anal, we've got potentially sexting or erotic role play or like all these things where what we're really interested in is just kind of sharing this pleasure and energy either with ourselves or with a partner. And so by sort of hacking the definition of sex in that way, we suddenly kind of expand things and we don't have to be focused on or like stressed out about one particular sex act, whether we're doing it or not. I do actually want to take a minute to say also there are folks out there who identify as asexual and sex is not their thing. That's totally cool. That is totally a valid sexual orientation, and I hope we all can recognize that. So just shout out to the aces. I know y'all are there. Y'all are awesome. So, all right. So now, rather than focusing on this one specific combination of bits going in a certain place, we can focus on this exchange of energy and focus on pleasure. And so now we can get into the kind of hacking and the technology. So I'm really interested in the concept of technological empowerment, which I feel folks in the hacker community are very familiar with, right? You don't want to just take something off the shelf and kind of use it as a passive consumer. You want people to get in there and modify it and build on it and make spin-offs and do what they want to do so that technology meets their needs. And we can really say the same thing about sexuality and pleasure. No two people have the exact same bodies. We're not wired alike. And so part of my work, what's important to me, is helping people get the tools and information they need so they can have the kinds of pleasurable experiences that they want to have. That I think is really important. And so I'm grateful to have the opportunity to talk to y'all about that. So what are we going to do today? We're going to talk a little bit about crowdfunded sex toys. I have a few cases that I kind of wanted to point out because I think they're kind of cool. I had to cut out. I actually had a whole chunk on this, and then I had to cut it out because it was too long. But there will be all that on my blog, and I'll have the link at the end. So if you're really interested in all the varieties of crowdfunded sex toys, I've got more waiting for you later. Then we're going to talk about the sex toy patent troll. I know. What is standing in the way of some awesome technological empowerment in this space? It's the sex toy patent troll. So we'll give you the lowdown in a minute. Then we're going to get into a couple of technologies that I talk with people a lot about. We're going to talk about sex toys and 3D printing, just give you some very kind of basic information if you're interested in getting started with 3D printing. And then we're going to wrap up with silicone, which is like the number one topic I get the most questions about. And I'm going to be happy to share some of my tools and tips for getting started with silicone. My goal with this is to leave a lot of time for Q&A because I feel like there are not always a lot of spaces where we can have kind of open, honest conversations around sort of sexuality and technology in this way. And so that'll be fun. Okay, what do we got? My very abbreviated selection of crowdfunded sex toys. So key things I wanted to point out. The first one is Kegel. So Kegel is not technically a sex toy. It is a pelvic floor muscle exerciser. So this was successfully funded in August of 2014 by a company called Minilife. And it's really neat. It like uses Bluetooth to connect to your phone, and it actually has the exercises like on your phone. You'd squeeze and release. I wanted to point it out in part because when they were funding, they were like, I was like, hey, are you guys going to release an API? And they were like, sure. And now it's like 2 years later, and I'm like, hey. So if you would like to have a like device you can squeeze with a vagina and have something happen, write Minilife and be like, hey, what about that API? Or if you know something about reverse engineering these kind of things, let me know, because I would totally love to use this to do all kinds of fun things around my house, not around my house. I don't know. The power of my vagina compels you. Like, I think there's good potential here, but we got to get on the API. We got to crack that. We got to figure out what's going on. So the other toy I wanted to point out is the Eva. So this is local. For the New York Sea folks, Dame Products is founded by two women in New York. They are awesome. They are trying to build the kind of toys that they like. So I have to say, there are actually not a whole lot of women and non-binary people like running sex toy companies and doing sex toy development. I meet many more kind of cis dudes that I do women and non-binary folk and trans folk. So they're doing really cool stuff. The thing about the Eva, so the design, it's got these kind of little wings off to the side. I don't know if you can see this cartoon. The way it works, you've got your little Eva, and there's the vulva, and its wings like kind of tuck under the outer labia, and then you push the button, and it vibrates, and you get this wonderful kind of pubic hair confetti thing. I just love that cartoon. My pubic hair did not exactly explode with delight, but it's a very clever application. They're good people doing good work, so shout out to them. And one more I wanted to mention, the mod. So I was super excited about the mod. The mod finished funding in February 2015. I know one of the founders of the company, Commingle, out of Atlanta. And the mod was intended to be a completely open source toy. The electronics, kind of the design, the form factor, everything, all the software, open source. It's got three motors. It's got like a hacker port. They made it super easy to like add sensors to it. They've got tutorials and stuff. And I was like so excited. And now they're dead. And part of that was because of the patent troll. So about a year ago, this company sued Commingle and several other fairly small sex toy companies. And thanks to the EFF, they were able to connect with some pro bono lawyers, which was amazing. But kind of the stress of that and other circumstances, because it's actually super hard to get anybody to fund a sex toy company. That can be very hard to find investors. They were kicked out of at least one startup incubator because sex toys. They're no longer with us. And we'll talk some more about my understanding. So I just talked to Andrew, who's one of the founders. He's like, the patent case is wrapping up. It looks like we are going to settle, although we are not going to pay them anything. So I'm like, all right. So yeah, man, this patent troll, what is up with that? What is this patent? Let me introduce you to U.S. patent 6,368,268 owned by Tsu Technologies. And this was so great. EFF featured them as the stupid patent of the month, July 2015, and this is all Vera, and I'm sorry, Vera, I don't know how to pronounce your name, Vera Ranieri's work, Vera Ranieri's analysis. If you're at the EFF or you know her, please like give her a shout out for me. Oh my God, this article is so great. So I'm merely transmitting you Ms. Ranieri's knowledge on this patent. So let's look at claim 8. There is a hand-operable input device that sends a signal to the first user interface, that sends a control signal to a second user interface, that sends a signal to the stimulation device. Now, they say the first and the second users and interfaces are not co-located. This is what we call teledildonics. It's a great field. Just Google teledildonics. There's been so much fun stuff about how can you kind of have sexy times with people from a distance. So, but the thing about this, man, what sounds kind of familiar for some reason? A hand-operable input device? Oh, you mean like a microphone that sends a signal to something like a radio broadcast system that's received by another user interface, a radio, to a device that moves something in the environment? Oh, like a stereo speaker? What? And as Vera says, and I can't say it better, ultimately, claim 8 of this patent is nothing more than the idea of teledildonics dressed up in input devices, signals, and interfaces. There was nothing novel, non-obvious, or even patentable about this claim. It should never have issued. Doing it with a computer, literally, does not make something patentable. Cheers to Vera on that. Like, that is exactly our problem. So Where are we at? Mark your calendars, people. Mark your calendars for August 17th, 2018. I am not a patent lawyer. My best sort of interpretation of some kind of patent expiration calendars is that that is when that patent will be expired. Glory hallelujah. It cannot come soon enough. So what is it, in fact, that I am most looking forward to after August 17th, 2018? Let me show you. This is the hammer. The hammer is my penis. Yes. Thanks, y'all. Right, so now let's see if I can. Can I operate two things at once? Yes. All right. If you were at Traceroute and you got to see the premiere of Johannes's movie At Hope last night, the hammer was totally in it. I was in it as like a crochet puppet because he accidentally lost the footage of me actually talking. So it's like, so. But bless her heart, his ex-wife made a crochet puppet of me that was in the movie. But the dildo itself was totally in the movie. This is the hammer. It's basically a dildo that I cast in silicone, and inside is a tube, a PVC tube, that is stuffed full with as many Adafruit NeoPixels as I could possibly cram inside. Huge thanks to Jimmy P. Rogers, a frequent Hope attendee, for his help with the electronics. It is connected to, why yes, this is an Arduino in my pocket. And I am, of course, happy to see you. And really, at this point, the first version actually had a bulb, so it was insertable. And the idea, because I wanted to be able to do Kegel exercises and have it like light up. The problem was, a couple problems. I was trying to use just a basic force sensing resistor. You really don't want to use that. You want to use air pressure. But it was cheap, right? Fast and cheap, right? Did it work? No, not really. It could barely detect what I was doing. And so in order to get any movement on the scale, I basically had to contract my entire core as though I were like Dragon Ball Z, like, to get the effect. And it also got kind of uncomfortable wearing it at demos for long periods of time. So I abandoned the sensing. This one is just lights. But it's really pretty. It's fun. And I love showing it off to people because I want to inspire y'all, right? There are so many cool things that can happen, especially once this patent goes away. And, you know, sex always seems like such a serious subject. And it's like, no, sex is silly. Sex can be messy. Sex is fun. Like, it is okay to laugh. It can be hypnotic, I swear. It's like looking at a campfire, you know? You like the fire is going, you're just like, whoa. I have to be careful because otherwise I will just sit there and look at my penis all day, right? You gotta watch out. But yeah, so this is the kind of thing that I would love to see more of, and I'm always excited to meet other folks who are doing work in this space. All right, so let's see if I can step back here. I think I like this mic better. I'm gonna stick with this one. Okay, so let's... Hang on, I'm gonna turn off my distracting penis for a minute. All right, so let's talk about getting into making stuff. 3D printing. So there's a lot of interest in folks doing stuff around sex and 3D printing. This is not my main area of expertise, but I've learned a bit that I'd love to share. So the first part is toy design. You need to somehow get a file you can send to your printer. And a guy who goes by Mr. O from Boston pointed me to OpenSCAD, which is an open source, like free and open source tool that's basically, it's amazing. It's like a 3D CAD program, but you can make things using programs. You can programmatically generate a dildo. That is amazing. Like, holy cow. So like on the left here, that's the curve of that dildo is based on a sine wave, and then he's got spheres that he stacked together. And the size of the sphere is dependent on like how far up the sine wave it is. It's great. It's a beautiful toy. And like for me, I have no sculpting skill. I am not a sculptor. Like, oh yeah. I'm thinking of the clay I have attempted to mold. It's just, no, it's not me. So being able to just write some code to make a cool thing is great. And Mr. O was, so he presented on this at a group I run in Boston, and I have his slides and sample code up on Toymaker Project. More links will be with the slides here on my page after this talk. And so you too can totally like start with his designs and program your way to a dildo or a butt plug or whatever it is that you desire. Huge fan. Okay. A program that I am less familiar with, but that's also interesting, is SculptGL, which is an open source web app. This is what they call an organic modeling software, where it's kind of like you have a blob of clay and then you can use, you know, your mouse and keyboard and whatever to kind of push and pull the clay. So if you want to get toys that are more organic looking, sort of smooth, kind of free-handy stuff, that might be a thing to do. And again, you don't have to use actual physical clay. So that can be another thing that you might want to play around with. So if we have our file, how do you actually get it to be a toy? There's a few different options that you can try. So the first one is go ahead and print your toy in whatever plastic you have, sand it, or use some process. Again, I'm not really a 3D printer person, but you can sand it down. You can do other things to get yourself a smoother finish if you'd like. At that point, really, you can just slap a condom on it and use it if you want. Or you can take that toy and make a mold out of it. And we'll talk more about that in a bit. So that's option one. It's pretty straightforward. Option two is to print the mold. That's actually really a great idea because at least if you do the kind of large block molds that I do, they take a lot of material. So if you 3D print the mold, you can use less material, and that's awesome. So you can print your mold, sand it if you like, and then cast your silicone into it. And really, I just want to point people to this cool video by SexShop3D. There's a link on the blog. They pretty much like show you the entire process. It is really fairly straightforward. So that's cool. Then there's option three, which cracks me up. Step one, get a paste extruder. And step two, you can, in fact, print a toy directly in silicone. And the SexShop3D people have a video, and I grabbed this GIF. And so they've got this paste extruder, and that is just the silicone that we're printing. And I just love the way it gets to the end, and it kind of like wobbles. It's like, you're almost to the end of the dildo. Oh, you're almost there. You're almost there. Almost there. And you're good. It's just, oh my goodness, that cracks me up every time. Again, very hypnotic 3D printing. So sure, you could, in fact, hook up a paste extruder and just print the darn toy in one step. None of this casting mold making business. I've never tried it. But again, there's a great video that will at least give you some idea of how these folks did it as a starting point. So, silicone, eh? Yes, that brings us to pointers in working with silicone. So we're going to talk about some of the most kind of frequent questions that I get in terms of how do you get started making sex toys. The number one, before I get there, if you have not done any casting and mold making, I just put up a video. Jimmy P. Rogers and I gave a one-hour talk where I was in cosplay. Please tell me somebody out there recognizes what I am dressed up as. Maybe? Anybody? I'm a printy. Don't you want to learn about casting and mold making sex toys from someone dressed up as a printy? Yes, you do. So that video basically covers a lot of basic terminology. You know, what is casting? What is mold making? Positive, negatives. And it goes over kind of the process you would go through to actually like make a mold and then cast a toy. That video and the slides, which are very comprehensive, are now up online. I was like, oh dear, hope is coming up. I better get this video that we made like a year ago onto the internet. Done. So that is where like most of the stuff, if you've never done casting or mold making, I would start with something like that. So in terms of materials, body safety, right? If you want a toy that you can feel reasonably safe about putting in a mucous membrane in an orifice, what should you go for? Okay, so the top of the line option is what is medical grade silicone, right? That's something that has been approved by the FDA specifically for using in human bodies. The catch is that it is very expensive to get your material certified as medical grade silicone. So really what you're looking for is platinum cure silicone, though that is the magic phrase. Now, I have to give the caveat that, so the company where I get my silicone has told me their platinum cure silicone is body safe, and I know they sell it to sex toy companies. However, I have not done any independent analysis of this, right? So I cannot promise you 100% that any platinum cure silicone you buy is going to be fine. Like, you know, use your best discretion, talk to the companies, read the data, see what you think. And what I always say, when in doubt, put a condom on it. That is good life advice right there. I don't care what object or body part you have and what object or body part it is going into, but you know, if you're not sure, put a condom on it. Good. I'm glad we're all on the same page there. Excellent. Go team. Okay. So, next question. What silicone do I use? So, I use the brand, the company is called Smooth-On. Yeah, somebody knows Smooth-On. Yeah, no, Smooth-On is really interesting. And the specific product I use is Dragon Skin. I have used Moldstar. I have used EcoFlex. Smooth-On makes a whole line of platinum cure silicones, and they differ in what's called durometer. That's basically how squishy or hard the silicone is. Usually the higher the number, the kind of more firm and rigid the silicone is. So like this guy, and I'm like, I have to feel myself. I'm like, which, I think this is Dragon Skin 20. it's embarrassing. I can't remember. But yeah, like there's a Dragon Skin 10 that I like really well. There's some super squishy EcoFlexes that are like less than one. Different companies, you can't always map different companies' durometers to each other, but within like Smooth-On's products, they're very consistent. So you'll notice too, so you see there's a yellow bucket and a blue bucket. So the way silicone comes, it comes in two parts. And in order to actually activate it, you mix the two parts together according to whatever ratio is on the product that you have. Dragon Skin, I know, is 1:1 by either volume or mass. I always do everything by mass because, oh God, volume? Ugh. So you mix it together. It has a certain pot life. That's the amount of time that it will remain liquid before it begins to harden up and firm up. And then, like a Dragon Skin, I want to say the total time to cure is something like four hours, something like that. They range from between a few hours to like a day, depending on the silicone that you're working with. So I will say I have gotten negative feedback from some of my friends that do casting it, and they're like, oh, Smooth-On is kind of crap. It makes a lot of bubbles and stuff. And I'm like, whatever. Like, the distributors are near me, so it's kind of like, well, it's what I got access to, and I know it works. I'm not really gonna, there's more stuff you can do with casting and mold making. You can vacuum out to get the air bubbles out. There's various things you can do. We go into that in the Fun with Silicone talks. I'm not gonna do that here, but that's the basic answer. Smooth-On Dragon Skin is what most of my stuff is in. I use it both for molds, and for the pieces themselves. I'm, you know, working on other methods, but that's what I got. Where do you get this mysterious substance? So the main distributor for Smooth-On in the US is called Reynolds Advanced Materials, reynoldsam.com. There is, unfortunately, I'm not sure what the closest one to New York is. There's one in Allentown, Pennsylvania. There's one outside of Boston where I'm at. And one thing I want to say about these people, they are awesome. Talk to them. You can tell them you are making a sex toy and they will not bite an eyelash. Like, I know that their single largest customer is a sex toy company. Like, they know what people do with these materials. They know. It is okay. And actually, Smooth-On is the same way. You can call them up if you're not sure how the product works or you're not sure which product to use. You can call up Reynolds and be like, okay, I think I want to make this type of toy. It's going to be about this big, you know. Can you give me some advice on what I might want? Like, they really, it's okay. I know it can be intimidating, but really, I have found these folks to be extremely sex positive and easy to talk to. And they want you to help. They want you to get the toy that you want. And that's cool. So it is really okay to tell them you're going to make a sex toy. I promise. not a big deal. Okay. My number one top tip for making dildos, you need to avoid sulfur. Sulfur inhibits the curing of silicone. Okay. What do I mean? So when you mix this part A and part B, you get this kind of goopy liquid that's eventually going to cure and harden into your silicone. If there is sulfur anywhere present, it will not do that, and you will have goop. You will have this horribly icky goop that's really annoying to clean up and just a total pain in the butt. So how do we avoid sulfur? Number one, use a sulfur-free clay. So if you are going to mold an original, or you're going to do a body cast or whatever, and you're going to be working with clay at any step in this process, it needs to specifically say it is sulfur free. I'm sure you, like, I know Reynolds sells, of course, lots of sulfur-free clays in variety of hardnesses. I'm sure other places do too, but that's key. If you're going to use clay anywhere, it has to be sulfur-free. All right, number two, that also means you don't want to use latex, like mostly like latex gloves. Again, because that's there's sulfur in the latex that's potentially going to inhibit the cure of your silicone. So that's bad. And there's another kind of silicone, tin cure silicone. That stuff is not body safe. And it does, like, if you tin cure silicone and platinum cure silicone, like, do not mix. So you can't make, you know, a tin cure silicone mold and then try to cure platinum cure silicone in it. You will just have goop. We don't want that. So no, use sulfur-free clay, no latex gloves. Like, don't, I, unfortunately, there was somebody on my blog who was like, yeah, I made a thing and it wasn't very smooth, so I threw a condom on it and then tried to make a mold and all I got was goop. And I'm like, yeah, don't do that. No latex condoms on anything, no latex gloves, stick with nitrile gloves, and you'll be fine. Then one of the other questions that people want to know, oh, you know, what are you up to? What are you doing? What am I making? Well, actually, I'm not really making as many toys these days. I am building an organization. I have founded the Effing Foundation for Sex Positivity. Thank you. I kid you not. I'm one of these people that's really bad at naming things, and I came up with this name as, like, lulz. And then after, like, 6 months, I didn't have anything better. And I was like, screw it, Effing Foundation it is. So our mission, the mission of the Effing Foundation, is to reduce sexual shame by fostering artists and educators who are doing sex-positive projects. So what I have found as I have started showing off my glowing dildo everywhere and meeting people is I have met many awesome people who blog, who, you know, who write books, who give talks, who run workshops, who do performance art, who make queer feminist porn. And it is really hard for those people to find funding for the work that they want to do. There's a variety of reasons for that. We can talk about it in Q&A if folks are interested. But basically, the Effing Foundation will be raising money to give grants to these people. Because I think in order to make the biggest impact, we have to go out there and make sure the folks doing good work can get funding and expand their reach, and we'll connect those people. And that's, I mean, I could manufacture the hammer, but it, you know, there's only so many people who are going to want a glowing rainbow dildo, right? Now, I wish it were all the people, but I believe that there is a crowd for whom this will be our thing, and other folks for it's not, and that's okay. But if I can find, you know, if I can help fund hundreds of awesome sex-positive folks who are doing projects appealing to all different kinds of people, people with disabilities, people of color, trans folk, genderqueer folk, you know, all kinds of people. That, I think, is really what, like, the main thing we need to make change is we've got to get money to the people who are doing good work so they can do more good work. And so please follow along, subscribe to my effing newsletter. It's only once a month. That is, right now, that's pretty much the main thing that I, kind of the front-facing thing that I do. We're into a lot of behind-the-scenes foundation building, writing bylaws, working with the board, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's really what I'm building, and I'm excited to tell you about it. So yes, the Effing Foundation, EFFING.org. Awesome. So a couple things before we get into Q&A. Special thanks to my husband, who is awesome and supportive, and I'm so grateful for his support, and my friends, who are also awesome. And, you know, letting me run around and be like, look what I made today. My blog commenters, man, I am so fortunate. The folks who comment on my blog are awesome. They're like, this is what I tried. Here's how it worked. Here's how it didn't work. And introducing to and sharing resources and supporting each other and sharing stories. And I just feel so thankful. So huge shout out to anyone who has, you know, left and shared some information on my blog for folks. I really appreciate that. It's amazing. Teescraft Boston. So Teescraft is a meetup group for people who are interested in making sex positive, kink positive things, toys, BDSM equipment, you name it. That's another great group of folks that has been very supportive and willing to share their knowledge and information with me. We've been going over 4 years now. So yeah, anybody in the Boston area, or you're swinging by Boston, check us out, see if we're meeting up. I owe huge thanks to my effing board and all my effing supporters. Y'all are great. That joke, never going to get old. I will try not to overuse it, but it will never get old. So much lulz. I want to shout out to Cable Flame, whose talks about sex at Hope really inspired me and encouraged me to submit mine. And huge thanks to all the Hope 11 staff and volunteers for making this possible. Can we round of applause, please, people? I am so grateful. There are really not that many venues where I can stand up and show off my penis and do the kind of talk about these things with y'all. It's really special. It's an awesome opportunity, and I'm so grateful to all of the people who make it happen. So, yes, before we get to Q&A, a little flowchart, just so that we're all on the same page. Have I already told you I would have sex with you before, during, or after this con? I can tell you the answer is no. I will not have sex with you before, during, or after this con. I like to do that because, as someone who does very public sex-positive activism, some people can make some assumptions, maybe not so clear on boundaries, so I just like to make sure we're all on the same page. So, here's what's going to happen. In a minute, we are going to start Q&A. After the session is over, I am headed over to Queer as Hope in Hoover. So if you are not able to ask your question or you want to say hi, especially if you're like a woman, trans, genderqueer, gender nonconforming, please come say hi. I'm always excited to meet cool people. So I'm going to be hanging out with Queer as Hope. Yay. Thanks to the Queer as Hope folks for making that available. All of the slides and resources in this talk are at or will be soon at toymakerproject.com/Hope11. I forgot to bring up my watch, so I don't know what time it is, but they were supposed to go live at like 7:20. So hopefully the slides are there. If not, they will be soon. You are more than welcome to contact me. My email is kstubbs@toymakerproject.com. You can find me on Twitter as at Vorticist. Please feel free to reach out if you have questions, you have ideas. I don't have the bandwidth for any new collaborations at the moment because, oh my goodness, the effing foundation is like startup, like all my time. But I'm always excited to hear from folks, and I will certainly do my best to point you towards the resources that you need. So with that, let us bring up the lights and let us open the microphone for questions. If people don't have questions, I have bonus slides on other stuff. So I'm sure we can figure something out. So thank you all so much. I really appreciate it. Y'all are awesome. And I'll do my best. In terms of questions, you're welcome to ask respectfully about my gender, sexuality, about my work, about the projects. I'm a pretty open person if you haven't guessed already. So can we get the lights up so I can... Lights up for Q&A, please. I really would like to see the people who are asking me the questions. Yay, thank you. Awesome. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hang on, mic up. We're waiting on mic. Check, check.
Hello?
Just check up on it a little bit.
Hi. I have a lot of interest in sex toys that are controlled by biofeedback, and... I've had trouble figuring out good ways to measure someone's stimulation level. I've worked with GSR, and it's really unreliable.
Yes.
I was wondering if you have other suggestions.
So the question is, if you want to do something involving biofeedback, what is a good sensor to use? Okay. I have a couple friends who have done work on this, and it seems to be the gold standard is anal sphincter contraction. Seriously. And it's kind of great because, like, almost everybody has a butt. Super useful. So you want to get like an inflatable, something small and inflatable that you can hook up to an air pressure sensor. And that is really what you want to do. There's actually, if you poke me later, there's a dude at Teescraft Boston who has been doing an orgasm denial device by hooking a Hitachi in one end and an inflatable like butt plug in the other end. And yeah, it's actually remarkably reliable. So anal sphincter contractions, if you want to look for arousal level and like how close to orgasm someone is, I think that's where you want to go. Great question.
Hi.
Hi.
At the beginning of your talk, you mentioned that you had a new gender and you're now the non-binary gender, and that made me curious because I've never heard anybody say that. So my question is there anything medically involved in that?
Okay, that's an interesting question. So I have transitioned to being non-binary, and the question is there anything medical involved in that? I can say it depends on the person. So I know some non-binary folks who may use hormones, they may have surgeries. It really is kind of like whatever they want to do to kind of feel comfortable in themselves. For me personally, it hasn't. And if you look at the pinned tweet on my Twitter, there's a great post on that by a non-binary person whose name is Sam. I think Escobar. Oh God, Sam, I'm so sorry. I can't remember your last name. So a non-binary person, it's interesting because we kind of like, oh, man or woman, this whole, eh. It was like, you know, okay, you know the gif with Simon Pegg where it's like, he's like making the two faces. It's like, woman, man, Like, that's kind of my take on it. So I'm just like, gender, So for me, my transition wasn't super visible on the outside. My gender presentation tends to be very femme. But my identity is non-binary. But that totally, it's totally a person-by-person thing. Non-binary and genderqueer folks, like, will do kind of, we would love for all of them to be able to kind of do what they need to do in order to be comfortable. But thank you. I appreciate the question that it was asked respectfully. Thanks.
So first of all, congratulations on coming out as non-binary.
Thanks.
And for transitioning. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So my question is, have you brought your toy to any play parties, and like, how has it been received in that type of context?
Oh, that's a great question. Have I brought my toy to any play parties? Okay, that's really interesting. So I have. Has my toy seen a lot of action? Not really. There's this wire, and I got this battery pack and the Arduino and stuffed into my pocket. So people like, well, okay, so I haven't been to that many play parties. The play parties that I've been to have been pretty queer. So everybody is like, oh my God, a glowing rainbow dick. I appreciate that. So queer folks especially tend to really love it. But I haven't done a lot of actual play with it. I did have someone turn it on. Like, you can't really, like, I don't know. It is so prototype. Like, it is not, it's proof of concept. So it's like, this is not, really should not. But I did have somebody turn it on and actually, like, just put a little bit of the tip inside me while it was turned on. And that was a very strange moment. It was like, wow, I'm being fucked by my own toy. And I was really hoping I would kind of glow rainbow. Really just the red. The red light actually really illuminates kind of, like, if you've ever shown a flashlight to your finger, okay, it's like that, but with a glowing dildo in your pussy. Yeah. I'm not sure what. Anyway, thanks. Yeah, great. Right. You know what I mean. So, it's certainly been well received. And again, I eventually hope to find collaborators to make this happen once the patent is not an issue. But yeah, thanks. No, it's been well received. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So one of the coolest sex toy projects that I've heard about recently is this person. His name is Franklin Vo.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
I totally do.
Please talk about your feelings about that.
I would totally do. Okay, so Franklin Vo, for folks who don't know, is a, wow, boy, how did he's an author. He's like a polyamory activist. He's very sex positive. And I actually got to see a demonstration of his proof of concept toy at Ars Electronica last year. So Johannes has run a conference called Ars Electronica, a sex tech conference in San Francisco. I have been attending for like 5 or 6 years. And Franklin came out. And basically what he noticed was, so some of you may be familiar with, oh boy, there's this, and I feel so bad because again, this is not my work. I'm kind of trying to tell the story as best I can. So there's you can put the electrodes. I believe it's on blind people on their tongues and give them electrical stimulation to kind of, that can give them feedback to help them navigate. Somebody know, like, is that about the right thing? Okay, I'm getting a thumbs up. Thanks. Like, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Right. So there's things you can do where if you use electrodes, the brain can kind of start remapping and can take in interesting input signals. So what he did was, he has a strap on. The outside had like three sensors. This is proof of concept. They're basically like a button sensor, on or off. And then inserted into the person who was demonstrating, into their vagina, was a, basically like an electro-stim toy. So it's an inserted dildo that has a couple of different regions that can be electrified very slightly. And so what happens is if you stroke this dildo and you activate these sensors, those are mapped to different regions of the vagina. And you can, like, if you do this after a while, the person reports that it's like they can feel their penis. Super cool. Super cool. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I, for one, am waiting for the day when we have, like, nanorobotic, dynamically reconfigurable genitals. I just want to be like, I got this one, I got that one, I got both of them, I got, you know, right? So Franklin has done this work, and so he's in the process of, he and I think a partner are launching a toy company to do that. So it's being able to kind of get the brain to kind of remap that this particular stimulation, you map it somewhere else. So yeah, no, thank you for mentioning that. That is, I'm definitely looking forward to it. We got it. Yeah, come on up. Got a couple more.
This is more of a technical question.
Sure.
Have you done any research into what the differences are between the different silicone grades? If there's adulterants, what they are?
Between silicone grades? I guess I'm not sure what you mean by grades.
Well, you...
Oh, well, okay. Like, so there's medical silicone... Yeah. Oh, right. Okay, so have I done research? No. Unfortunately, I am not a material scientist. And there was... dildology.org, they were going to start a nonprofit to basically be like the Consumer Reports of sex toys and actually test sex toys to see if they are containing harmful things or not. That's the only effort I know along those lines. So I personally have not done any investigations to like compare a medical grade silicone versus just the Platinum Cure silicone out of the box. No, that's a great question. And I would love for some material scientist to do that. It would be super helpful. Yeah, thank you.
Hello. I was wondering in regards to vibration.
Yes.
Aside from off-center weights on a standard motor, are there any other general classes of easily like home reproducible ways to create vibration?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh boy. So my background is in software, not in mechanical engineering. So different types of vibration motors. I am afraid I am not the person to ask.
There's a hand.
Oh, yes, we've got a hand up. The other class is piezo buzzers.
Which are thin and crappy, yeah. Produce thin and crappy vibrations, but...
But they may be what you want because they're tiny. Cool, thanks. Okay. So there's a couple different options there. Awesome.
Apart from the orgasm denial tool you mentioned earlier,
yes.
What are your other favorite kinky or kink-friendly DIY sex toy projects?
My favorite DIY sex toy?
Or the most interesting ones to talk about.
Or the most interesting ones to talk about. Oh, man. I mean, it's funny, right? Because most interesting to talk about. Sorry, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, there's like so many things. I mean... Just talk about something, right? Okay, so a product that... All right, so Orgasmatronics is another sex toy company that recently closed down, and they were friends of mine, and they released something called the Hack Off, which was basically a little tiny board that you could plug into an Arduino, and you could help teach people Arduino programming, like, with a bullet vibe. I'm like, that's effing amazing. Like, see, so I'm... There's a lot of different ways things can go, but like I'm always interested in like what inspires people, what will get more people in the community, and so like that's a thing that comes to mind, for instance.
So anything that's non-penetrative or non-sort of vibrating, other kinds of things besides
other
that.
Kinds of things that are not penetrative. All right, we got a couple minutes left. Non-penetrative, non-vibrating. I mean, there's just general classes of things. Like I'm interested in learning more about electricity play, for instance. Because I have the constraints that I have with fibromyalgia, a lot of the really popular BDSM, throwing whips and floggers and paddles, like, I can't. Like, I just literally can't. And so I'm always interested in finding kind of different sensations. So, I mean, yeah, you could do a lot of stuff with, like, electro-stim. You could totally hook that up to Arduinos or your microprocessor of choice and do fun things with that. I'm super interested in Franklin Vo's kind of what does it feel like to have a penis sensation. And there's actually a dude, a friend of mine from Australia, who did a guest post on my blog called The Eva Project, where he did kind of a homebrew version. It's not so much the he doesn't really use electrodes, but you get the kind of touching a dildo, like generating kind of interesting vibration patterns. So yeah, I'm just interested in all kinds of different sensations. All right, we better move on. We've only got a couple minutes left. Yes.
Do you think the FDA should regulate sex toys?
Do I think the FDA should regulate sex toys? I don't know, and I don't feel equipped to say. I have not prepared an answer for that. I mean, all I can say is it's complicated. Like, on the one hand, I have heard different cases. So I've talked to sex toy manufacturers that are like, oh my God, this is going to keep new people from entering the business. And I can totally see that. It's already hard to make a business in sex toys without additional hurdles. At the same time, I feel that people need to feel comfortable that if something claims to be body safe and platinum cure silicone, that it is. So I don't know. That's a great question, but it is a really tough problem. All right, one more minute. Sorry, one last question.
Okay, not a question, but a suggestion, especially since you already gave the disclaimer about some things being kind of expensive. I work in robotics, and there's a whole new class of 3D depth cameras. Depth cameras are becoming a thing. So like the RealSense is $100. They don't make the Xteon or the Kinect anymore because Apple bought PrimeSense, but you can still get them on eBay for cheap. And there's packages like ScanEct, which are either free for trial or open source for scanning, 3D scanning. So just in case you did, a depth camera is basically, it's a regular RGB camera, but it's also got a laser that gives you depth information per pixel.
3D scans.
If you wanted to do cheap 3D scans, open source, it's out there. And I saw just last week, three new either Kickstartered or just plain open source were going to be crowd supplied for $100-$200.
Awesome. Thank you for pointing that out. Yes. Look for your open source kind of 3D scanning capabilities. Could also be super fun. So that's where we will leave things for now. I'm headed over to the Queer as Hope meetup. Hopefully I will see some of you there. Thank you all again so much for coming out and for your time. I really, really appreciate it.